It is 8:43, which means that it's time for Car Talk with Melinda Ferguson. This week, Melinda has been cruising, I tell you, in the Toyota Land Cruiser 79. It's the 70th anniversary edition. When I said to Melinda last night, what are we doing tomorrow? And she sent me a picture and I thought it was a joke. I thought she was joking. And she said, this is it. And I said, are we really doing that? She said, we really are. And after having a little bit of a gander on the internet at it, I really like it. It's the 70th anniversary edition of the iconic Toyota Land Cruiser. Welcome to the iconic Melinda Ferguson. Hello.
Hello. I'm laughing my head off silently as you're saying, are we really doing this?
I thought you were joking when you sent me that picture yesterday.
I thought they were joking when they dropped it off for me. But I mean, look, I mean, it is quite an incredible legend.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to tell us the history. I mean, it's 70 years since the Land Cruiser first came out. Give us a bit of a history of the old Land Cruiser.
Okay, I mean, when we speak Land Cruiser, I suppose we also think of the Jeep, and it's all during that time, sort of the Second World War, the Korean War, the Japanese decide they need something to compete with the American Jeep, the Willys, as we spoke about it, like the Willys, that's what
it's called. Yes, yes,
yes. And so they went hard to work with their company, Toyota, that is Japanese. And in 1954, the first Land Cruiser was birthed. Or maybe it was even in 51, because we've just celebrated 70 years last year of the Land Cruiser as a 70th anniversary. So maybe the internet was wrong. It's about 1951, whatever. I'm sure some buff is going to tell us something different. Then the 70 series. Because we all know the big Land Cruiser, the SUV and the Prado, that kind of is all over the place. But this is a very different kind of Land Cruiser. It's much more rudimentary, as you can see.
Yeah.
The 70 series was birthed in 84 in hard and soft top variants. There were buckies and there were also kind of closed wagons launched. And so this one that I'm particularly is the double cab kind of backy 79.
I want people to go to either Melinda's Instagram account or Twitter or mine and just have a look so you can get in your mind's eye. If you're thinking about the Land Cruisers that you see kind of, you know, driving around in Cape Town today, no, that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about a very retro but actually glorious. I mean, it really is. It makes me think of farms and a few chickens being flung in the back. Pitchforks is also an image that I've got coming up in my mind. Listen, why have Toyota decided to do this? I mean, presumably they've got to be pretty confident it's going to sell.
Oh, well, it does, because now that I'm driving one, I mean, I see them in a lot of places. I see a lot of the closed kind of wagon ones, but they're very popular with the South African kind of rugged farm.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I've read about like where these cars are. It's not a car. It's like a bakkie, a ute, as they would call it
in Australia.
And mines love this kind of vehicle. They really are tough, hard. I mean, the load bay, there's absolutely like nothing there. There's a spare tire. It's very basic. And I think the people that are loving this kind of vehicle are not basic people, but people that don't want, you know, like all these systems and all these electronic stuff. I mean, when I got it, I thought I better drive it. I mean, I was a bit nervous, to be honest. And it took some getting used to because it's manual. It's got this legendary 4.5-litre turbo diesel V8 engine.
Sure.
It's got a 5-speed manual. And I have to tell you, the first gear is so short that you haven't even, like, run 20 metres and you have to change to second. You have to. So I got very, like, sort of a bit nervy driving it out into the beautiful sort of urban streets of Cape Town. I wish I'd been sort of, like, transported right onto the farm without actually having to drive through Cape Town. But once I got into, and I often started it in second, I hope that's
did
not.
Did you?
Yeah. I hope, someone must phone in and tell me if I'm making a very bad bad error by doing that, because I couldn't bother with the first gear. I mean, it just didn't sort of do anything. And the second gear seemed to just flow better. And I must tell you, SJ, once I got on the highway,
yeah,
this beast took to its, like, vibe. The vehicle, the Bucky, the retro wagon, whatever we call it, it really drove fantastically once I didn't have to stop and start, like, change gears all the time. I mean, I was watching that fuel consumption in the city, and I was like, no, this diesel is just, like, blowing out this engine.
Sure. Listen, we've spoken about the retro look from the outside. Talk us through what's going on inside. Is it as equally retro and basic and rudimentary inside, or are there some modern touches?
Oh, my darling. Yes, it is. I mean, I wanted to move the seat forward and I couldn't find, like, I'm used to the buttons on the side and the swish and that, or the lever at the bottom. There's like this kind of, I don't know what you even call it, but you have to actually turn it to push forward.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. I had one in my Vauxhall Nova, which was the first car I ever owned in 1990-something. Wow.
So you've got that. And then you've got, I mean, you've got a steering wheel, thank God. Yeah. And then, I mean, it's a lovely steering wheel. And then what they have done is they have updated the infotainment system. So you've got a touchscreen,
right?
But it's very simple.
Yeah.
It's a touchscreen. You can do your Bluetooth. It's got some audio. Not the best speakers I've ever heard. I mean, I was trying to pump some music up and I was pushing the volume up really, like, high. It's fine. You know, it's not like wild Bose or hardened card, like none of those kind of, you know, luxuries.
Yeah.
But it does link the phone well, and there's sat nav. And so, I mean, I think that people who are really wanting to just not have anything that's too modern or cluttered, it's very basic.
I like it. I really, really do. I like how functional it is. In a parallel life, Melinda, I'm living on a farm in Montague. And I've got a couple of horses. I've got endless dogs. My kids are running around barefoot and feral. And I've got one of these. And this is what I drop my daughter off to the local primary school in. And then I come back, you know, and I might shear a sheep and I hoy it in the back of the van. I promise you. Producer Vicky is looking at me like I have completely lost my mind. I've taken myself to the brink of my life. That was sort of my childhood, really. It really, you know, I grew up on a farm. So this is right up my alley. My parents always had embarrassing cars. And this is sort of an embarrassing car in an almost cool way.
I think if you were being dropped at Bishop's every morning in this car, you might be going, Mom, please, can you drop me around the corner?
Yeah.
But, you know, once I got out into the rurals and I hit the Tuys Kloof, and I must say I sailed there because there wasn't one single car in front of me.
You must have fit right in this.
People were literally gagging for it.
I mean,
they were literally looking at me as though I just, like, got the best kind of vehicle for that type of environment. I mean, Karoo, I'm sure sheep farms, I mean, it would be fantastic. I have to just tell you something.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this, but the it has a nickname, Afrikaans, and its nickname is Kosblikkie. Now, I don't know if you know that. I think you might, because you're getting quite good at Afrikaans.
Not that good.
And it means a lunchbox.
Yeah,
Kosblikkie. And it's because of the square, hard-edged kind of vibe. It looks like one of your kids' kind of snack boxes that they take to school. And that's what it's called, the Kosblikkie.
I like it. I like that as a nickname. If you're just tuning in, 8:52, you're listening to Weekend Breakfast with me, Sarah-Jane Macuala-King, and Melinda Ferguson, who is with us for Car Talk. And we were reviewing this morning, or rather Melinda is, the Toyota Land Cruiser 79, the 70th anniversary edition. Get out of your mind the Land Cruiser as you see it sort of cruising around the streets now. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about a very sort of pedestrian Bucky, like in its proper form, in the original form, 70th anniversary edition, right? And it really is retro. I think it's absolutely gorgeous. You say it drove really well. You liked how it drove. Bit funny in the city and starting in second gear. But once you got out into once it was doing what it's made to do, pretty good.
It It's pretty good because it's got amazing torque. It's got 430 newton meters of torque, and it's transferred to the rear wheels. For those of you who are interested, 151 kilowatts. So it's a powerful, it's a V8 engine. It's also got a fantastic four-wheel drive capability with this lacquer little stick that you put it into, kind of you change your diff locks, and you can put it into two-wheel high, four-wheel high, or four-wheel low if you're going on some really hectic territory. And this thing would eat the dust.
Right.
I mean, it really can do that. It's a heavy vehicle, though, you know. And I mean, I've been looking for comparative vehicles, and literally I cannot find, although I have to say the Jeep Gladiator that we reviewed a few weeks ago, that big Jeep that's also kind of a bucky now, I think it would be interesting to put this 79 Land Cruiser against the Jeep Gladiator.
Really?
Mm.
Is it quite big? It doesn't look big in the picture. Oh, I see the Jeep Gladiator, Yeah.
Now, the Jeep Gladiator is much longer. I mean, this one isn't as long as the Gladiator, and it's a double cab. So, I mean, of course, Mr. Joe. Oh, and for the 70th anniversary, there's some really lovely material, fabric, very hard kind of canvas seats, covers that you can take on and wash. And I think that's a really lovely thing. And, of course, there are Land Cruiser 79 70th anniversary kind of little insignias all over the place. But I think the charm of this 79 Land Cruiser is they've almost left it unchanged from that very early, the time when it first came out. So I think people that are big fans of this vehicle will always want to keep on buying it because of that very reason.
Yeah, for sure. Is there a waiting list? It seems like the kind of thing. I mean, I started off by saying obviously Toyota would have to be pretty confident it was going to sell, but it is so retro, and the Land Cruiser is such a classic that I would imagine there's a waiting list. How many are being made? By the way.
Oh, don't ask me that.
Don't ask
me
that.
How the hell do I know? But I do know the Land Cruiser 300 has had, which is the new Land Cruiser, the SUV. There has been waiting lists. I think in Australia there's a 2-year waiting list.
Gosh.
South Africa there's been an enormous waiting list. You know, this bloody electronic chip problem that still is plaguing the industry.
Yeah,
and has caused havoc, and especially for this Land Cruiser.
This was meant to come out in December, right?
Yeah. I mean, this actually, the 70th anniversary was celebrated last year.
Yeah.
I've only got my hands on this one, and I think we've only got one in the fleet in Cape Town because, I mean, I think the people that have ordered them, you know, must be in a waiting list for this one as well.
So, listen, we've got a couple of minutes left. What did you love? What did you not love? And then we can talk about price.
Okay, I actually grew to love what it looked like.
Yeah,
I loved that retro vibe. I loved that it was simple. I actually loved driving it off-road. Gravel, I mean, I put my foot down and I didn't even get at all nervous of doing any kind of rocks that were in the way or anything. It was just one of those vehicles that you really felt safe in. I mean, there is safety systems. I know that we haven't spoken about it, but very kind of basic, no forward mitigation, collision control, autonomy systems, nothing like that. But it's got airbags, it's a pretty safe vehicle. What I didn't like was that there wasn't a sixth gear. I really felt like it could have done with a sixth gear. And I really hated that the first gear was so short that I had to start it in second.
I know. That's going to make me chuckle all day. I know how much it is, which is a shame because I wanted to guess. But in doing a little bit of research, I found out how much it was. I'll be honest, I was really shocked. I think it's quite expensive.
Yeah, it's not a cheapo. You know, the way that you were kind of making, Anyway, so there are two versions. I'm not going to read the whole thing out. It's very long.
Yeah.
You've got a 889,700 for the first one, the SC, and the DC, so that's a single cab. The double cab is 943,100, nearly a million. Yeah.
That has suddenly, I've gone from, you know, wanting to tell everyone to get one to kind of going, no, well, I'll look at that when it pops up in a car museum in 50 years' time. That's expensive, Melinda.
It's pretty pricey, and that's why I think the fans will buy it. And for those people who just want a bit of comfort and a proper, like, kind of SUV, they're not going to even give it a second glance.
No, they'll get themselves a Toyota, what's it called, Cross?
Land Cruiser.
Or an
Urban Cruiser or a Toyota Corolla Cross.
Which there is a waiting list for, I know that for a fact. Mm. I love it, but I can't afford it. I can't even, I do think it's really expensive. I'd love a cheeky test drive, Toyota, if you're listening, though. I really would. I'd love to uphill and down Dale in that. Melinda, thank you very much indeed. We're going to have to leave it there. The Toyota Land Cruiser 79, the 70th anniversary edition. It looks fantastic. It's nearly £1 million, though, so there we are.